Bisco Show, taking you home on a Friday afternoon at 9:30 KSDN.
Okay, you're back here on the Don Brisco Show. No fishing report this afternoon, but we'll try again next Friday. Our guest this hour is Corey Heidelberger. We'll be talking with Corey here in just a moment. How would you like $50 free? Would you say that again, Don? $50 cash free? Yep, open a personal checking account today at Great Western Bank, and it can be at any of the branches, and get all the details, and you'll get $50 in cash free. Again, I want to remind you how up-to-date they are. They've got, of course, mobile banking, online banking, bill pay, mobile check deposit. I like when I can transfer funds from my savings to my checking account. It's just so nice to not to have to go into the bank and be able to do that from home. Remember, the Great Western Bank nearest you, maybe in Webster, Watertown, Rosso, Redfield, Mobridge, Milbank, McIntosh, Gettysburg, or my bank here in Aberdeen. Great Western Bank, member FDIC. Well, good afternoon, Corey.
Good afternoon, Don. Glad to be here. Thanks.
Good. I want to take one quick, before you and I start chatting about the laws they passed, I do have to mention this quick because I forgot about it. Aberdeen Community Concert Association presents a concert Monday called Tenore, and actually, if you go to this concert and buy a season pass, you'll get into this concert free. It's the best value I know in town for $65. Anyway, this is at Johnson Fine Arts Center this coming Monday. I wanted to remind you about that concert. Okay, and also, as I mentioned, if you were with us in the first hour, Ken's now has their own pizza. Ken's Plaza Shop has a gourmet pizza. And here are the different varieties: chicken Alfredo, pepperoni, breakfast, garlic cheese, four meat, beer drinkers, deluxe, chicken, bacon, ranch. They're on sale this weekend. Introduce them at $3 off at $5.99. Now, if you like Jimmy's Pizza, this is the factory that makes Jimmy's frozen pizza. So that's what you're talking about. It's a great quality pizza. So here's what we're going to do. You don't have to answer a question. You don't have to do anything. You just have to call the station. The number is 725-5736. We're going to give away six different pizzas today. You're just going to give us your name or address. We're going to mail you the coupon. You don't have to stop out to the station to pick this coupon up. The number is 725-5736. Did we get somebody? We got somebody on the air already? Okay, we'll take this caller, and then forever, whoever lives closest to the Britain store, call next, and we'll get you on. Okay, Corey, they wrapped up the session. Let's talk about the good and the bad and the ugly. First of all, did the Democrats have a chance to even introduce any bills?
Well, the Democrats do introduce bills on a regular basis.
But did they get voted on, and did they have any luck?
There was a little bit of luck, actually. Karen Soley, Democratic representative from down in Sioux Falls, she presented a bill creating an ethics commission. And this was meant to replace, you remember we voted for an ethics commission and initiated Measure 22. Legislature said, oh my gosh, no, and repealed that right away. But then Karen Soley was the one who had a bill to recreate the ethics commission. Now, it's not called an ethics commission. I think it's the Government Accountability Board that has the unfortunate acronym of GAB, GAB, so I'm hoping it'll live beyond its name. But basically, that is a commission that's going to be formed, thanks to Karen Soley's bill, to deal with ethical concerns, deal with corruption.
Okay, now it's no surprise for anybody that knows you to know that you are a hardcore Democrat. So, did the Republicans introduce any bills that got passed that you thought that was a good idea?
Well,
just one sec. Have we got two winners so far? Okay, now is one of them near Britain or not?
Neither one of them.
Okay, that's fine.
The other one's in Minot.
Okay, that's fine. We're going to hold off now, and then in a minute we're going to announce again, and then we're going to look for a caller from out of town near Britain to win a pizza. So don't call right now because we're going to wait a minute. Okay, Corey.
You asked about Republicans if they did anything good. Actually, our local guy, Drew Dennert, his freshman season, his rookie year in the legislature, he brought it. I mean, it was a small bill, but it dealt with, I believe, manufacturers, alcohol makers, being able to serve alcohol at fundraisers. And now this is a little thing, but apparently, you know, things like the Grape Times and the fundraisers they do to help Safe Harbor and that, there was a little legal complication someone discovered that said the manufacturers can't actually pour their own hooch at these swanky events. And folks were like, oh, my gosh, we're going to have to cancel these events. What are we going to do? And Drew said, well, I can write a bill that would fix this little problem. And he fixed it, and pretty much everybody in the legislature agreed, and they fixed this problem in the law to allow these charity events to go on. So, I mean, there's one small thing that our local Republican Drew Dennert got done and did well.
Okay, and, you know, I'm not sure if Drew Dennert was the one that introduced this bill or not that I'm about to talk about, but I believe this. I'm a big-time fisherman, and I mean big time, and I like to go out. And the law used to be that if a farmer had a flooded slough or land that he owned, and you could access it from public access, like a road, you could fish out on top of that water.
Sure.
And the ground underneath was still his, but all the water on top was considered public lands. And I want to say it was Drew Dennert that tried to get it, maybe I'm wrong, so that us people could fish that. Anyway, long story short, I think the Supreme Court came down about, I think, 2 weeks ago and ruled now that from here on out, that's private land. What I wanted to be able to do in the past or go in and fish, because some farmers, a lot of them didn't care. They were, I mean, some did, but some didn't. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying now it's all, you can't do it.
Right. And I
remember that right, did he try to introduce a bill to allow us? I couldn't remember.
I don't know if we got a bill on it just this year, because like you say, it was last year that they had kind of this conversation in the legislature before Drew was in.
Right.
And then the Supreme Court came out just in the, kind of the middle of this session, I think even after bills could be introduced, to say what you said, that basically you have to at least get permission from the farmers to be able to go on their land and fish.
Well, and will that hold up as law? I mean, was there a chance that that could be rescinded at all, that somebody could introduce something or not?
Boy, now if the legislature were going to take any action on that, I mean, I think they could rewrite the law, but basically the court has said, as the law stands, farmers own that land and they own the water on top of it, and you can't just plunk your boat on and sail across Farmer Jones's flooded field. So if the legislature were going to do anything about that, that would have to happen next session, next January.
Okay. Now, last Monday was the last opportunity the governor had to veto any bills, correct?
Yeah. Well, they recessed the legislature, a couple weeks ago, and they give the governor 2 weeks to decide any vetoes.
Right.
And then after that two-week period, then the legislature comes back and they get one day to say, okay, the governor has issued his vetoes. Do we want to override any of them? So that's what happened Monday, as our legislators went out to pier to say, do we want to overturn the governor's veto?
And did they overturn it?
Not a one. The governor was bulletproof on his gun bills and everything else. There were 5 vetoes. There was one veto that was a technical thing that everybody looked and said, yeah, the governor's right. Let's not even mess with it. There were 4 other bills. 3 of the vetoes they considered held votes but didn't get enough to overturn it. The 4th bill, they didn't go to overturn the veto, but this was actually a bill of Al Nofstrup's dealing with juvenile probation, time limits on probation. The governor said, I'm looking at Al's bill. I'm okay with Section 1 and 2. But the sections after that, no, can't do it. So veto. If you gave me just 1 and 2, I'd sign it, but I can't do these later sections. So the governor vetoed it. The legislature on Monday looked at that and said, well, he's okay with 1 and 2, but you can't override just part of a veto. So they had to do this remarkable, hair-raising parliamentary trick where on veto day, they introduced a new bill. I mean, I saw this on,
wow.
You just don't do that. You introduce bills during session,
right,
beginning of February
right,
is your deadline,
right.
And then you can hog house and do some
right.
monkey business. But we got the veto day, and I'm reading on Twitter and listening on the radio, and I hear introduced new bill. I'm like, what? What are they doing? Are they going to deport me? What's this bill about?
Right.
Oh, my gosh, because
right.
it's not published or anything. Whew, everybody take a breath. It turned out that they made a new bill to include the 2 sections of Senator Nofstrup's vetoed bill that the governor was okay with. So they basically just took his bill, cut off the bottom part, and said, here, let's pass the first 2 sections. Everybody went, okay, yep, great, fine. Governor's going to go, okay, great, fine. So we got a new bill in a matter of like probably less than an hour. Amazing work. Very efficient legislature when they want to be.
Are you upset with the way that was handled?
You know, not terribly. On principle, I think the idea that you get to veto day and you get to introduce a new bill, no, that should not happen. And there's a reason that doesn't happen, because bills are all supposed to get committee attention. They should get public attention. People should have a chance to see what's going on. The reason I'm not freaking out about this particular instance is that this wasn't really a new bill. It was just a bill that had already been considered in committee and in public. We all knew about it. The governor said, I'm okay with one and two, but because of the veto process, I got to nuke the whole thing. So all they did was basically do a line item veto, or a line item veto override, I guess we could call it. It's shady, and they had to suspend the rules. So technically they broke their rules, but parliamentary procedure lets you do that.
Now, you said there were three other bills, and were any of the bills that the governor vetoed close enough that might be brought up again next year that you feel?
That's the thing. They all passed with a majority originally.
They wouldn't have gotten to the governor anyway.
There are two that I'm almost positive we'll see again. There's one that we might see again, and I want to do that one first because it didn't get as much attention.
Okay.
This was a bill. It was a tax cut proposed by Democrats, vetoed by our Republican governor. So let's just emphasize that. Democrats, us liberals, we proposed a tax cut. We were going to take your phone bill, your telecom tax.
Come on.
You're kidding me here.
A Democrat and a tax cut?
Dan, look it up, Don. Dan Ollers of Del Rapids. Good red-blooded Democrat, blue-blooded Democrat. We're all blue, right?
He said,
I want to cut your phone tax from 15 cents a month to 14 cents a month. You go look at your bill and you'll see it on there. You get charged 15 cents a month by the state of South Dakota, supposedly to provide service telecommunication services for the deaf.
I'll tell you what, that phone bill, someday I really would like to get one of the representatives on. I get my Medco thing and there's 14 cents here. And I mean, it all adds up. But being you brought up taxes and being you're a good old Democrat, I got to read this. You just left it open for me. Taxes cow, taxes goat, taxes pants, taxes coat. Taxes crops, taxes work, taxes tie, taxes shirt. Taxes church, taxes hope. Tax him taxes are not a joke. Taxes tractor, taxes mule. Teach him taxes are a rule. Taxes oil, taxes cash. Tax him good and let him know. After talks, taxes he has no dough. If he hollers, tax him more. Tax him till he's good and sore. Tax his coffin, tax his grave, tax the sod in which he lays. Put these words upon his tomb. Taxes drove me to my doom. And after he's gone, he can't relax. They'll still be after inheritance tax.
Well, I tell you, Don. I tell you, Dan Ollers tried to save you 12 cents a year on every phone you have. And I mean, it adds up, you know.
Sure.
But basically, they said, well, let's cut this. Because what's been happening out in Pier,
right,
this 15 cents per phone tax, it's on every phone. This money's supposed to fund telecommunication services for the deaf.
Right.
But it raises more money than we need for those services, and the legislature has just been sweeping that over into the general fund to do other things. Dan Ollers and others said, well, wait a minute, if this tax is for, you know, services for the deaf, let's only take what we need. Let's cut it a penny. The governor, who, interestingly, he comes from a family. His parents were deaf. He speaks sign language. He still said, nope, I don't want to cut this tax. I want to keep taking this money, and we need it in the budget for other purposes. Even though it was promised for telecommunication services for the deaf, we need this money to balance the budget. And as you know, we heard a lot about revenues being short, sales tax not coming in as fast, farm economy down, et cetera. And so the governor vetoed this tax cut. He said, nope, we're keeping it at 15 cents per phone. We're not cutting it down a penny. And they didn't get enough votes then on Monday to override that. So Democratic tax cut, Republican veto. Go figure.
It's 20 past 5. Our guest is Corey Heidelberger. Last time he was on, we had a couple of calls, people asking him questions. He's very knowledgeable about what happens in Pier and in our legislature in general. If you've got a question or a comment, the number is 725-5736. I want to take a second here and remind you that next Friday here on the Don Briscoe Show, I was supposed to have the editor of the Paris Vogue fashion magazine. However, she had to cancel today, and so we will have a Potpourri Friday next Friday during the first hour. On the 5 o'clock hour, my guest has a book to help you cope with grief. And I know this sounds like a contradiction, but within that book, she's got a chapter on dinner with Cary Grant on his bed. So you should be able to find that interesting. Again, our number here is 725-5736. We're going to take a time out, and after we do that, we'd like the attention of you folks that live near Britain or near Eureka. Would you folks that live in that mailing address area call for a free Ken's Pizza after I get back on with Corey? Not right now. We're going to take another time out here. But afterwards, the number is 725-5736. We'd like you to be in the Britain or Eureka area for a free pizza from Ken's. I want to talk to you about where I have all my dental work done, and it's Carroll's and Bain Family Dental Care. You know, there's a reason I really like these folks. Years ago when I lived in Texas, I came back and my mom was suffering from Alzheimer's and other things, and quite frankly, she was hard to deal with when she'd go to the doctor. And I took her to John Carroll's, and I can't say enough how patient and how kind and how nice he was, and I thought, boy, if I come back to town, that's the guy that I want. They really care about you. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to since I've started doing commercials that tell me Carroll's or Bain has come back in after a hard day at work. They're open till 6 and take care of them if they have a real problem. It's why I'm glad to recommend Carroll's and Bain Dentistry here in Aberdeen. Also, all you basketball fans, I know we're down to the big weekend of it. Well, if you're going to watch basketball, what better place than there could there be than Pounders? I think they have more TV screens than almost any place in town. So watch the game, enjoy your appetizers, enjoy one of the big Pounders hamburgers. Again, that's at Pounders for TV and good food here in Aberdeen.